Badaloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1012. There won't be many more. It's February 2nd, 2023. 48 degrees on this day in 1991. And then in 1996 on this day, it was 32 below. And in 2016 on this day, 9 inches of snow.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king,
you know,
fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense.
After each introduction,
your mayor
should have said,
Joe
Sushi.
Fired.
Maybe.
Fired.
The Canadian marmot saw his shadow today.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Nice marmot.
What are you, a park ranger? This is from Tim. Four things you probably didn't know about Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Punxsutawney Phil is named Punxsutawney Phil Sowerby.
Is that naming the plows?
He does not actually live in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. He lives in Gobbler's Knob, which is about 2 miles southeast of Punxsutawney.
Can we say that on the podcast?
He is brought into town before sunrise on February 2, along with his wife Phyllis and daughter Felicia, by a secretive group known as the Inner Circle. They're just like the Vulcans.
Right.
The Inner Circle is a select group of men who dress in top hats and tuxedos and take care of Phil year-round. However, the Evening Sun newspaper in Hanover, Pennsylvania, pulled back the cover on this secretive society in 2015. As it turns out, the Inner Circle decides in advance whether or not Punxsutawney Phil will see his shadow. The entire event is scripted for dramatic effect, much like Al Gore's climate predictions.
Well, wait a minute.
It's fixed.
The thing physically has to go out there, and it's in the sun. How can they fix it?
I don't know how they do that.
Sees the shadow or not.
The groundhog is also known as a woodchuck. Other names for this mammal are ground pig, whistle pig, thickwood badger, Canadian marmot, weenusk, red monk, and land beaver. Prior to the Groundhog Day movie in 1993, the crowds for the ceremony were about 2,000 people. Since then, they have averaged between 10,000 and 20,000.
Wow.
So it's a big deal.
Did you see the very sad Quebec news?
No.
Oh, no.
They do the same thing there, and they have a groundhog who was found dead overnight.
Oh, no. Terrible.
Did he hang himself?
No, he had a...
Fred Le Marmot is his name. Apparently somewhat famous, and every spring...
One of those David Carradine deals?
Did he have a bullet hole in his forehead?
Who was the third baseman for the Cincinnati
John
Reds?
Nobody else.
Who was my favorite athlete? His glasses were
Chris
taped
Sable.
Up. Chris Sable,
Sable
was my favorite professional
Pete
athlete.
Rose.
Remind me, why?
Because he minded his P's and Q's. He wasn't a spendthrift. He drove a cheap car.
That's right.
He had his glasses taped up, and he was saving his money. I now have a new favorite professional athlete.
I know who it is.
Chad Ochocinco Johnson. He said he has saved 83% of his NFL earnings.
Nice. Good job.
This guy ought to be the role model in every school, every college in the country.
Put away $100 every paycheck.
What was his
Kenny,
motivation?
He could afford to do more than that. He earned $50 million in his NFL career,
80%
and he still has most of it.
That's like $30 million?
He regularly bought fake jewelry, and he flew commercial.
Oh, I see what's
Fly
happening
private?
Here.
I ain't flying private,
He's
said.
He's a cheapskate.
Put me on Spirit, exit row, window seat. That's all I need as long as I get from point A to B. I don't need private. Ochocinco was widely regarded as one of the best receivers in the game when he was playing. His superb play combined with his antics made him a household name. He's never gotten caught up in excess purchases.
Good for him.
If you can get to a point in your career where your name becomes bigger than anything you can purchase, there's your value, he said. I never bought anything when I was playing. Never. What was the point? I went to Claire's for what? What am I doing it for? What's Claire's?
What do you go to Claire's for, Joe?
I don't even
know. Probably to get his ears pierced.
Jewelry and
that's
whatnot.
A woman's clothing store.
I went to Claire's for what? What am I going
don't
to do
pierce
it
your
for?
Ear.
The women are going to deal with you anyway because of who you are, and then the other women who are already doing their homework done Googled how much you make already. Why am I buying a $50,000 watch? Everybody is caught up in image and looking a certain way and being rich. To me, it's pointless. You know how hard it is to live like that all the time, consistently, and be fly every day?
Boy, he really thought about this, didn't he?
In all, he estimates he saved 83% of his earnings with thrifty spending. He has been known to give four-figure tips for a quick meal, but they're at drive-through joints.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
He made 6 Pro Bowls and 2 All-Pro teams. And every bit, when you see him now, and he's got the watch on and the jewelry, that's all just cheap
it's
stuff.
Fake.
You know, it's fake.
Well, you know what? I think that's to be, I think he's commendable.
May I ask a Joe Soucheray question?
Yes.
It's in the last 20 years, probably hundreds of players in the same situation. Why is that a news story?
Hmm. Yeah.
Because I will bet you any amount of money you want to bet that he is very unique.
I doubt it.
Well, I don't doubt it.
If there's 53 players on each team,
I don't doubt it
20,
at all.
20 of them have done the same thing.
The reason it's a news story is because you never encounter anybody like this who's willing to tell you, I've saved virtually every penny I made, and here's how I did it.
I disagree. I
well, you're wrong. I'm not
story.
Arguing with you.
John, have you seen the 30 for 30 on Broke?
I have, yes. Yeah.
On who?
It's called Broke. Yeah. Basically saying how all these different NFL players have wasted every cent they
earned. Well, it's not all. About 20 people.
No, I said how all of these different, not meaning all is in the whole league. I meant all of these different.
Every team has 20, 30
John, I think you're being disingenuously naive.
I'm just trying to...
I think what he's saying makes
naive.
Yeah, I think you're naive.
What he's saying makes perfect sense. Of course he's right.
Who?
John.
You really think... do you think Justin Jefferson is salting away every nickel he makes?
No, but I bet some unheard of guy in the front line is.
How about Adam Thielen? How about, I don't know, who's a linebacker? Quick name a linebacker, Chris, for the Vikings.
Scott
Dick
Studwell.
Barkus.
Eric Kendricks.
Scott Studwell.
Eric Kendricks.
Center line blocker.
Well, anyway.
Middle line.
Maybe John's right.
Well,
maybe
I know that
isn't.
Tommy's good for a bar appearance every Viking game.
Yeah, Tommy Kramer still
how
got
how much
it.
Money do you think poor Tommy squirreled away?
Well, he's one of them on your team. But,
there is a story that came out, I believe, in 2020 or 2021 on Gronkowski. He lived very much the same lifestyle. I was going to send it to you, Joe, but I don't want to back up John in this case.
you want to burst my bubble all the
no,
time.
No, I love this
you
story.
Know, you know what? That's fine. You go ahead and pop that bubble.
Gronkowski?
But I'm telling you that Ocho Cinco has my
seal of approval?
Yes.
He sounds like a really boring guy. Gronkowski, though, on the other hand, are you saying he saved his money?
He hasn't spent a nickel of either his signing bonuses or his career earnings. He's only lived off marketing money.
He doesn't seem like the kind
of
guy.
Tiger only lived off marketing money.
That's right.
But isn't his image one of let it rain?
Yes. But I think Tiger lost a few bucks.
Yeah, letting it rain.
I'm looking at an entire story here that lists 4 people off the top, including Rob Gronkowski, who have saved over 70% of what they earned in the NFL.
Hey, you found 4, huh?
Well, that's...
that's pretty good.
Now I'm going to find the ones that have wasted.
It's not honest. Like Chicago, you know.
Yeah. You found 20 4.
Not like Chicago.
You don't think that there's linemen that are doing just this right now because they know their time in the league will be limited?
Like a Tim Irwin.
But, you know, Ocho Cinco was a superstar who made way more than any lineman ever made.
How about Marshawn Lynch? How about Kirk Cousins? How about Glover Quinn? Jordy Nelson? Andrew Luck? Carl Nassib? Rob Gronkowski? Darius Heyward-Bey? Derek Morgan? there's a whole story here.
I got your back, Joe.
I see his...
According to bankingrates.com...
I didn't mean for this to become a controversy.
Well, when you're wrong
like Dr. Cinco's attitude.
When you're wrong, it needs to be pointed out.
This is from...
I'm sorry, Chris, but it's just because once in a while you say to me, why is this a news story? I wanted to do it back to you.
Oh, a little taste. So there's two different stories. One is from Go Banking Rates, and the other one is from Forbes. And it says, for many football stars, money goes just as quickly as it comes. According to Sports Illustrated and Forbes, nearly 4 out of 5 former NFL players either go bankrupt or suffer severe financial distress within 2 years of retirement.
I rest but my most, case.
But, well, that's not the case, though, because most of them don't make the money that Joe Cinco makes.
Most Isn't of that what Joe said?
Very minimal salary.
Yeah, they're living paycheck to paycheck like the rest of us.
They don't make $80 million. In their career.
Do they need to do a show tomorrow?
Do they have to write later this afternoon?
Carl Bear, our friend in Northfield, who brought us some very neat homemade items.
Yes.
You know where they are? He says, we began our cruise in Fiji on January 21. The ship has visited Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea, Australia, and today East Timor. This country only became independent in 2002 after being at war with Japan, Portugal, Indonesia, and Australia for 27 years, mostly at war with Indonesia, which controls 75% of the island of Timor. Your favorite Pope, JP II, visited here in 1989 in an effort to make peace, which failed. East Timor is 98% Catholic, and they 98% Catholic, and they were inspired to build this large statue and monument to commemorate the visit by His Holiness. And he sent me a picture.
Tell
of the
me,
statue.
It's a good. Is it a good?
It's a nice statue. Yeah.
Okay, it's not like a bobblehead.
It's not like a Martin Luther King statue.
Okay, yeah, I didn't understand that.
No Martin Luther King statue looks like Martin Luther King.
No. Confession to make. I had my two boys here the other day. When we didn't have school. It might have even been MLK Day.
I think it was.
And they saw a lot of the things that Carl had made for you guys and the bookshelf where you could hide stuff.
Yeah.
That came home with us. They thought that was the coolest thing they'd ever seen. So it's now sitting in my son's bookshelf. So sorry to inform you.
Today, okay. I won't dwell on it, but today, if Noted. You could, you might want to do Noted. Yourself a favor and look up the book review in the Wall Street Journal. There's one every day. It's called Bookshelf. And on the opinion pages, a book is chosen and it's reviewed. And today it's called Cobalt Red. And it's by Siddharth Kara. And the lead is, if you want to know what's being unleashed by the rush to mandate electric cars for a so-called clean energy transition, read Cobalt Red. It will leave you almost as shaken as its author, Siddharth Kara, who braved lawless militia and state-backed soldiers in the Democratic Republic of Congo as he visited the fountainheads of the world's lithium battery supply chain. He is a professor of human trafficking and modern slavery at Nottingham University and a senior fellow at Harvard School of Public Health. And, you know, he sounds just by that he would be a candidate for an electric car, right? Mm-hmm. but he's not. And it is really sad. And all of you self-congratulatory people who think you're saving the earth by buying one of these things, I really recommend, if you don't read the book, read the review. And the children he came across are destitute, ill. No pictures. He couldn't get a picture because there are armed guards.
Jeez.
And it's called artisanal mining, which is obviously a public relations term. There's nothing artisanal about it. It says the heart of Mr. Kara's mission is to document the use of artisanal mining. That is human digging and toting by manual brute force rather than using trucks and backhoes. You're halfway through the book before Mr. Kara's bombshell. The artisanal share of the Congo's output, often dismissed as negligible, may exceed 30%. As the author warns, do not be fooled by the word artisanal. It's far from pleasant mining activities conducted by skilled artisans. In place after place he visited, whether with official escorts or by surreptitious entry, what he saw was a hellscape of craters and tunnels patrolled by maniacs with guns. It was a lunar wasteland, a devastated landscape that resembled a battlefield after an aerial bombardment. The reader senses that the author has been shell-shocked, not from the aesthetic carnage, but from seeing thousands of people mining by hand, hammer and shovel, in vast open pits of feet deep. Most of the pits arrayed with hand-dug tunnels, Mr. Kerr reports, visiting a typical mine where more than 3,000 women, children, and men shoveled, scraped, and scrounged under a ferocious sun in a haze of dust.
Jeez.
And you're never going to see a 10-year-old on an oil rig, are you?
No.
Have you ever seen your children taken from you or your mother accompanying the 8-year-old to go out and work on an oil rig?
No.
I'm unaware of it.
No.
Because they won't show it.
Artisanal mining is a euphemism. It means nothing. But we live in a world now driven by the technology that requires these minerals. And it's being done under the most horrific of circumstances. So I just wanted to give you that, Dave Breitner. If you want to go to the Wall Street Journal site.
Positive Thursday.
It's called Cobalt Red. It's a book review on page A15, The Human Price of Cobalt. So I would recommend.
How many opinions will change as a result of that?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Many should. Many should. There is nothing for you to be gained by buying. And then I got a nasty email. Not nasty. He was all right. I got an email to the guy from a guy today saying, you have no right to talk about EVs. You don't know what you're talking about. Mm. Well, yes, I do. I've driven them. And I know enough to know that I don't want one. And he was very proud of his Tesla. And he thinks,
but that's his right.
And of course,
yeah,
it is.
Fine.
And anyone who wants one, you go ahead. But boy, I would make a list of the concerns you think you're curing versus the concerns the creation of the car creates.
Right.
Make a list of the conditions you think you are absolutely helping the earth and humans versus the list of concerns that the mining for the batteries creates. And I got to think that any reasonable, rational soul will think long and hard before plunking down an overpriced amount for a car with a battery that weighs 2,000 pounds.
Battery.
Oh, that's another stat I wanted out of this article. Okay. 3/4 of the cobalt comes from Congo, a market share that's more than double OPEC's claim on oil. Now comes the electric vehicle's half-ton battery, each one using thousands of smartphones worth of minerals. Even at only 10% of global auto sales, electric vehicles have already pushed annual cobalt demand to 140 kilotons. It is expected to exceed 200 kilotons by 2026 as new battery factories come online and will explode from there when proposed EV mandates are supposed to kick in, many within the coming decade. Why cobalt? Because today's smartphones, laptops, leaf blowers, toys, and so much more owe their revolutionary portability to the advent of cobalt-infused lithium batteries. Up until the late 1990s, the uses for cobalt in magnets, dyes, inks, chemical catalysts, and little else required some 20 kilotons of the mineral a year, a relatively modest figure by mining standards, and one that had remained little changed over the previous three decades. Then the first lithium decade vaulted annual cobalt demand to 60 kilotons. And then I went on to read the rest of that, where demand will exceed 200 kilotons. And a kiloton is a lot. That's all I know.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Give me the name of the book again, Cobalt.
It's called Cobalt Red.
Cobalt Red. Coming soon to Author's Corner?
I know I should read it, by Siddharth, S-I-D-D-H-A-R-T-H, Siddharth Kara, K-A-R-A, St. Martin's Press, 274 pages, $29.99, cobalt red. What are you going to do? In the meantime, there's a new piece warning us off the gas stoves.
You said kiloton, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's 1,000 tons.
Really?
Seriously?
Holy mackerel.
It's a unit of weight equal to 1,000 tons.
Those kids don't have much of a life to look forward to.
Wow.
I think Jordy alerted me to this. From the Energy Department, we get proposed new efficiency rules for cooking devices. Energy Department. What significant characteristic defines the Energy Department? And think of how many people they employ and the building they occupy and what we pay for that and the computers and the copiers and the secretaries and the telephones and on and on and on and on. They've never produced one drop of energy.
Well, if you're looking for a characteristic you would want or what the government wants?
Well, what the government wants, they're getting.
Diversity.
Right. But they don't produce. The Department of Energy in America has nothing to do with energy.
No.
Doesn't produce energy.
No.
It produces people with meaningless equity titles. So now I guess we have new efficiency standards for both electric and gas cooking tops. And we're going to set levels of energy use per year.
Are we going to put catalytic converters on them?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
A metric will ensure cooktops are produced to meet a certain level of energy efficiency. I can't read this. It printed incorrectly.
So that just means now our stoves are going to be inefficient.
Yep. It's
going to take forever to boil up some water for your electric stoves.
I was thinking about this the other day. So at what point then are gas fireplaces next?
I would imagine they're on the radar of unelected people.
Your furnace and your water heater and everything else.
Even though every single one of them probably has one inside of their home.
Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court in Minnesota just ruled that the people at the unelected environment, what do we call our EP, local environmental group? What do we call that in Minnesota?
Environmental Justice Squad.
But there's the Supreme Court ruled that yes, we can follow Chicago's rules. California's rules on EVs.
Saw that yesterday. But they've got one more. They can take it to the highest court, though.
I hope so.
Pollution Control Agency.
Yeah, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. These are unelected people, and they're going to be determining how you commute.
We will tell you.
You mean the case from the car dealers, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Scott
yeah.
Lambert and his group put up the good fight and lost in court.
Well, it's not the first time they lost, and they still have one more court to go, and they're going to take it to that court.
Well, I would think it would even upset the Euphorians that these decisions are being made for you by people you haven't voted for. Yeah.
What if you want to get better mileage?
Then you'd drive a scooter from EcoFun. That's about 80 miles to the gallon.
Would the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency have an issue with that?
Bleep them.
Could I run into town with my scooter, though, and hook up my trailer carrying a snowmobile and drag it back home? Is
no,
that going to work for
but
me?
EcoFun would set you up with a 4x4 that could do that.
Oh.
Yeah. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and Burnsville. I'm afraid the end of the year sale is done because we're past the end of the year.
Feb 2nd.
But it's still the greatest prices in town on scooters that turn every urban errand into an adventure, electric golf carts, youth recreational equipment, 4x4s, great motorcycles, great service, helmets and apparel. I thank EcoFun. They've been with us from the beginning. They're in Forest Lake in a brand new store that opened last summer on Highway 97, just immediately west of Interstate 35. And down in Burnsville on the Service Road of Life near County Road 42. They have, you buy something now, they're still going to store it for you until spring. We got a few more weeks to slug through here before we can break out the scooters. And what are they known for? The electric bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Bintelli electric bikes. Punxsutawney Phil says 6 more weeks of winter. But don't worry, EcoFun Motorsports. That's EcoFunMotorsports.com. EcoFun Motorsports in Burnsville and Forest Lake will store your purchase for you until spring.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
Well, I've got your Valentine gift right here, Romeo. It's a Liberty Safe. Made in the old U.S. of A. Best fire protection in the business, transferable lifetime warranty, and courtesy of our guy Rich at Maple Grove Lock and Safe, professional delivery and installation.
Here, honey, also, I got you a safe.
Oh, are you kidding me? That would be the best gift I had ever received.
Love it.
He's got a big Valentine's Day sale going on right now on select Colonial and USA safes by Liberty. These savings up to $300, lover boy. Never mind the flowers, the candy, a vacation. Give the gift of security, safety, and savings this Labor Day, or this Valentine's Day. Get your loved one a Liberty Safe, the gift that keeps on giving no matter what calamity comes your way. That crap in the safe, that's perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. You can find your Liberty Safe at Maple Grove Lock and Safe, 6901 East Fish Lake Road, and on the web, maplegrovelockandsafe.com.
You have an email you wish to share with the audience?
I have a very cool email addressed to me. Dear Kenny, I am Joe's sister. I was coming home from Portland, Oregon, snaked through the TSA line, got to the guy looking at boarding passes, showed him my pass on my phone, and he told me my pass said I was a male. I was instructed to get out of the line, go back to the Delta desk to have it changed, and come back through the line again.
Huh.
I looked at the guy and said, "What if I identify as a male?" He said, "Do you want to?" I said, "If it means not going back to the Delta desk, then yes." He said, "Okay." Done. Boom. That was pretty cool.
I told you it was a true story, and you doubted me.
So when she approached the TSA at the podium, and he punched in... beep, beep, beep.
Whatever.
It didn't say it on her boarding pass. It said it on her reservation.
I guess.
Okay. Oh. That makes more sense then.
She showed him something on her phone.
Because that would.
Well, she probably had something. She's technologically advanced.
Well, she's normal compared to
But I mean, when her reservation came up, it would say, you know, he would need to match the name with her ID. And then he would, oh, wait, you're not.
Fellas, why is it always so pleasant hearing from Joe's siblings?
Well, why is it always so pleasant to be proven I was not lying?
I love hearing from all of your brother, you know, your two brothers and now one of your sisters. This is awesome.
What's right?
And they're all validating my genuineness.
But Paul and Johnny and now Allison, so much more pleasant than Joe.
Yeah,
so much more.
As far as you know. Well, we have a little treat for you today. Kamala Harris, just a minute, Rook, you get that ready while I set it up. I think Kelsey wanted us to play
you
this.
Mean to say the gift that keeps on giving.
She really is. This is dated yesterday. It's a Fox News story, of course, because other news gathering institutions apparently find Kamala very palatable, and most people don't. Vice President Harris created what many considered another awkward and uncomfortable public moment when speaking about space travel Tuesday, meaning this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
Harris took part in a Congressional Space Medal of Honor ceremony to honor former NASA astronauts Douglas Hurley and Robert Behnken. On behalf of President Biden, Harris commended the men for their experience, particularly their mission aboard the first astronaut-manned capsule in almost a decade, which she enthusiastically described.
Here we go.
Which brings me to May 30th, 2020. Bob and Doug returned to the Kennedy Space Center.
Bob and Doug.
They suited up. They waved to their families, and they rode an elevator up nearly 20 stories. They strapped in to their seats and waited as the tanks beneath them filled with tens of thousands of gallons of fuel. And then they launched. Yeah, they did.
Dear God.
Millions of Americans watched that day. On the hills and sand dunes of Cape Canaveral, in living rooms, dorm rooms, classrooms, across our nation.
Bathrooms.
We watched Bob and Doug's rocket rise from the launch pad.
E.
We watched
you hoser
climb into the sky and then disappear from our view.
What the
hell?
For
the first time in almost a decade, we witnessed American astronauts launch an American rocket from American soil.
Originally designed by a Nazi.
And for the first time in history, we saw astronauts reach orbit in a capsule built and launched by the private sector.
Okay.
Wow.
I would like to replay that, but my head would explode.
That's a little golden book. Written for 5 years.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
My little golden book about space. And then what is funny about launching?
She's just
why is that a laugh line?
She's nodding at someone.
The whole time I watched the video, the whole time she's giving these childish remarks, she's almost has to contain herself from laughing. She's smiling broadly.
Sometimes without the benefit of video, to me it sounds like she's about to burst into tears.
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. Her voice has that timbre.
Kind of quaking almost.
With her pacing, too, it almost sounds like she's trying to bust into song. You know, Rocket Man by Elton John, whatever it is. It's, wow. That's your VP, Joe, one heartbeat away.
They strapped into their seats and waited as the tanks beneath them filled with tens of thousands of gallons of fuel. Well, first of all, I thought we weren't supposed to like fuel.
Right, she was a little too happy about that.
And then they launched. Yeah, they did.
I think it's going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings us
around again. Yeah. You're literally going to see the craters on the moon with your own eyes. With your own eyes, I'm telling you, it's going to be unbelievable. The latest video followed a recent report from the Washington Post.
Okay.
That revealed some Democrats have begun questioning her basic political skills. Really?
Wow.
It took you this long, huh? Took you this long?
Well, maybe they wanted to do their own thorough research.
What an embarrassment to the extraordinary efforts that it takes to put people in space and to build rockets. And to have this moron stand there and talk to them quite literally like they're 5 years old. Play it again, Rook.
Oh, really?
God. Come on.
Yeah. No, Joe, no.
Imagine
if these were electric rockets.
Joe, please.
If they were electric rockets, they wouldn't make it 2,000 feet off the ground.
Hello? Which brings me to May 30th, 2020. Bob and Doug returned to the Kennedy Space Center. They suited up.
Oh.
They waved to their families. And they rode an elevator up nearly 20 stories.
Wow.
They strapped in to their seats and waited as the tanks beneath them filled with tens of thousands of gallons of fuel.
You can end it after launched.
And then they launched.
Wow. Well, okay.
But don't you have to apply the same rule that you do with Hank Johnson? We need to go to her for everything.
What is? Who is writing for her?
People that hate her.
Well,
it is true that she has burned through a lot of staff people.
Is it?
Yes.
I wouldn't want to work for her.
How could you work for this idiot?
No. Question mark at the end of the teleprompter.
I am asked that all the time.
Yeah.
Beat me to it, Matthew.
Thanks, Kenny. Sorry.
I'm not.
Oh, listen to you.
Sycophant.
You sycophant. Anyway, good Lord in heaven. What are you going to do? She's your VP, and she's an idiot.
Is she the biggest idiot in Washington, though? That's the question.
In Washington? Come on.
Because I'm thinking after what I read from, what's her name, Cortez? Hoofda.
Well, that's a deep, deep competition.
Well, you got congenital liars, you got deniers, you got Nazi sympathizers, you got anti-Semites. It's a hell of a group.
We run the gamut.
Just a hell of a group.
It'd be fun to have a game show with all the big dummies on it just to find out who's the dumbest of the dumb.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be, yeah.
Oh, I'd pay money to see that. Might we take a break and return with John?
Put them all on Jeopardy. Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be so awesome. Here it is, the first positive Thursday of the month already. And it's brought to us by SchoonoverBodyWorks.com. Mr. Mike Schoonover, part-time body shop owner, full-time construction supervisor. He's on the horn with us from Schoonover up in Shoreview, 1060 County Road E, the North American Pond Hockey Championship on Lake Minnetonka starts February 9th, right out from Maynard's. And this year's beneficiary is Play for Patrick, but that starts next Thursday. Mike is busy keeping customers happy today. How's it going, Mike? Busy? Huh? Getting anything done?
It's really busy. Huh? It was really quiet. Well, it was quiet here for customers and employees because we didn't have any employees here while the construction was taking place. But and the construction workers are gone this week because it's too dang cold for them. So they'll be back here next week to finish off the roof and put up the remainder of the walls. So we are rocking and rolling. We are one day closer to getting this thing finished up.
I bet your shop is plumb full right now, bonnet to boot, isn't it?
It is. We're scheduling a ways out there, but if there's GLers there that are in trouble, their car can't drive or whatever, we do save space for those in need. So we're kind of triaging customers. If you got a minor fender bender and you can drive it, and it's not going to matter for a month or two or three. We'll get you in then. But the folks that their front end is wiped out or their glass is broken or something along those lines, we try to get those folks in sooner so that we can get them on the road sooner.
Or if you need tires or a new windshield, right? You're going to get those taken care of right away.
Yeah.
How's this pond hockey thing playing out? You getting excited?
Well, I talked to Jenny. She's the gal that heads it up a little bit. And she said everything is going well. So I think the concert tickets, they might be sold out. But she said for people to come on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because in the tent, if you have, adult beverages or those types of things, all of those proceeds will go to the Patrick's Foundation. So
nice.
That'll be really cool. And then they got really cool swag. They got neat hats and pond hockey stuff for you to wear, which is really, really sharp. So if GLers are in the mood for a little clothes shopping and stuff to keep you warm, because I know you were just complaining about winter, head over to Maynard's and buy some pond hockey gear.
And it all starts next Thursday, February 9th. Any chance that you're going to strap up a pair of tacks and hit the ice?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because my son Matthew wanted to play, and he was too late for registration. We just got notification that a team bowed out, so we're gonna have either him or me or his friends and him playing, or who knows. But either way, we'll be out there supporting the group.
This is breaking news. I don't want you wafting here. No wishy-washy. I want you to make a promise to the GLer that there's going to be a Schoonover team, and you're going to be you're center, right? You're playing center, right?
Huh? Well, there will be a Schoonover team playing there. We don't know what we're going to call them yet. It might be the Play for Patrick team, but it might be a bunch of young men that are, under the age of 25, and those guys skate too fast for me.
They can get up faster too. It's amazing how fast they pop back off the ice. GLers, anything you need related to, pond hockey, heart screenings, automobiles. It's all yours at schoonoverbodyworks.com. Oh, yeah, and auto repair, too. Glass, tires, bodywork, coil changes. Whatever it is, get a hold of Schoonover Bodyworks, and they will get you hooked up. 80 years strong in Shoreview, always rated as one of the top shops in the metro, and Garage Logic's official body shop, schoonoverbodyworks.com.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Soucheray.
Here's John Pike.
Why, thank you, Joe. Bloomington police say three adults were found dead in a truck that was parked in a business lot late Wednesday. According to police, it was parked in a lot on the northwest corner of France Avenue and 494. As of this time, police are not looking for anyone else who may be involved. A murder-suicide is suspected. No other details were immediately provided by police. However, an update is expected to be provided sometime today.
John, there was some speculation they froze to death. Is that still the case?
That I did not see.
Oh, okay.
I did not see that part.
Wow, what a story. Jeepers.
That sounds New Yorkish or Chicago-ish.
Yeah, right, it does. Yeah.
From the Pioneer Press, a Ramsey County Sheriff's employee will care for a puppy thrown from a vehicle during a pursuit this week, according to the sheriff. The employee is already a dog owner and loves dogs, will serve as a foster mom while the dog heals and until a long-term determination of ownership is made. And according to Sheriff Bob Fletcher, on Monday night, as a sheriff's deputy pursued a driver who wouldn't stop, a 911 call came in. The caller reported that the vehicle the deputy was following had just been carjacked from a woman and she'd been shot in the incident. The sheriff's office later determined that 911 call was bogus and it came from the fleeing vehicle. One of the suspects at that point threw a dog out the window, which the sheriff said he thinks was intended as a diversion for law enforcement. As deputies pursued the vehicle, the suspects tried to carjack at gunpoint a person who pulled over to the side of the road. That carjacking thwarted by deputies. The suspects kept going, driving the wrong way on 694 in Arden Hills. The vehicle was traveling about 45 miles an hour when deputies saw a white object tossed out of a rear passenger door. Another vehicle struck it on the highway just before Snelling Avenue. Deputies later determined the white object was the puppy. They went out to search for him Tuesday morning. Following tracks, they found the dog hiding in the snow 50 yards from where he was thrown. Deputies took the pup to a vet where it was determined he will survive, but his leg was broken and he had some other injuries. The vehicle was stolen, but deputies think the dog belonged to one of the suspects who was in the vehicle. The dog is less than a year old. The vet bill should be around $4,000. Sheriff's office are seeking to charge the person who threw the dog. But in the meantime, Ramsey County Sheriff's Foundation is fundraising to cover the cost. After the pursuit, two women from the vehicle were taken into custody. Two men who ran and allegedly carjacked two other vehicles had not been found as of yesterday.
I have a question. Why didn't the dog freeze to death?
That's a good question, because temps did get below zero.
Well, that and a windshield was dreadful.
He looked okay in the picture.
Well,
he looked hurt.
But, he looked spooked.
Well, he looked frightened.
Yeah. Question for you. Do you have an address or a website where Joe can send a check?
Yeah, let's see. It would be RamseySheriffsFoundation.org.
I can reach them, yeah.
RamseySheriffsFoundation.org.
That's nice of you.
You know what?
Send money for the dog.
I know Sheriff Bob's listening right now. Just swing over to Joe's house. You know where he lives, Sheriff.
He's swing over there on Main.
Let yourself in. That garage door is always open.
Yep. starting right about now, as we record this, the full Minnesota Senate is expected to vote on a bill that would require all of the state's energy to be carbon-free by 2040. It's a plan Governor Walz included in his full budget proposal and is supported by DFL lawmakers. Lawmakers say it would make the state a leader in clean energy. A similar bill was passed in the House last week after it was debated on for more than 7 hours. A similar bill passed in the House in 2021, but failed in the Senate. Meanwhile, Republicans in the Senate are planning to roll out their own energy bill this morning. They're calling it an A-plus energy plan, are introducing the bill in opposition to what they're calling the Democrat blackout bill.
You know what these idiots think? They think Minnesota has its own air. This is our air. And it never changes. This is our air. Right. So we're going to...
Well, my
what you're going to do? Are you going to do anything about China or India?
It's obvious that it's not going to work. You can't survive
because they can't link.
Well, that's where I was going. Whose voice would they listen to?
Obviously not mine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the question is, who could raise their hand and say, hey, the folks, only way.
Voters,
we'll freeze to death.
And the voters put these morons in.
The only way this is going to change is if the public finally wakes up, looks around, figures out what's going around them, and votes these asshats out.
I got news for all of you now that everyone's got a driver's license.
Yeah, there's no, Democrats are never going to lose another election.
Nope.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
And they think this is our air.
Yeah.
If you go to Wisconsin, that's different air.
Oh, no, they don't pay for it.
You go to Iowa, that's different air. Mm-hmm. Well, you come to Minnesota, this is our air.
Chunks of soot.
Yeah.
They must get really upset when the smoke from the wildfires blows in every spring. Huh? Yeah. That must drive them crazy.
Republicans set to remove the Minnesota Democrat, and I always never know what to call her. I'm going to call her a leftist. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Ilhan Omar from the House.
I'd call her worse than that, but you're a charitable guy.
I can't be, from the House Foreign Affairs Committee today. A move ostensibly about her past remarks on Israel, but Democrats are charging.
How about spiteful, hateful cur?
Well, actually, I was going to say spite because that's what Democrats are saying.
Yeah.
It's more about spite from the Republicans and revenge for removals of far-right extremists in the last Congress. On Wednesday, Republican-controlled House approved membership of committees by unanimous consent, but the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, announced a vote to remove Omar today. Having won over members of his party who did not immediately approve the idea, McCarthy said he has enough votes to do so. Back in 2021, Democrats removed Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia and Paul Gosar of Arizona from committees.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is a spiteful, hateful cur.
Mm-hmm. Let me step off the news desk for a minute and say, she's nuts. Okay, now back on the news desk. The two extremists were removed for aggressive and threatening behavior, including Gosar's dissemination. Well, you know what? Let me step off again. Gosar's also nuts. Okay, back on Gosar's dissemination of a video.
Almost showed a sounder.
I love the way Jack pretends that he does. He's trying to be neutral,
right?
Yeah,
it's GL, dude. You can.
I can do anything I want.
You're allowed to be whatever you want.
Free reign. All right, yes, here we yes. go. Gosar, of course, put out that video that showed him attacking and killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and also menacing President Joe Biden. Gosar, at the time, was also censured.
I've got to throw this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez quote at you. This is from AP. Representative Cortez took it one step further, saying the GOP's action was one of the disgusting legacies after 9/11, a reference to the September 11, 2001 attack. The targeting and racism against Muslim Americans throughout the United States of America. And this is an extension of that legacy. She also added, this is about targeting women of color.
This has nothing to do
with race.
No. Well, she has her purpose. We don't know what it is. But
it's because Omar hates all Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. So we can accuse the Republicans and the right of hate and racism, but they will not accept it when it's thrown their way.
I'm trying to find who to give credit for the line, but someone had said, in response to this story, some people got removed from some things.
From some things.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Russian President Vladimir Putin evoking the spirit of the Soviet army that defeated Nazi Germany forces at Stalingrad 80 years ago to declare that Russia would defeat a Ukraine that, in his words, is in the grip of a new incarnation of Nazism. In a fiery speech in Volgograd, known as Stalingrad until 1961, Putin lambasted Germany for helping to arm Ukraine and said, not for the first time, that he was ready to draw on Russia's entire arsenal, including nuclear weapons. Russian officials have been drawing parallels with the struggle against Nazis ever since Russian forces entered Ukraine almost a year ago. Ukraine, of course, was part of the Soviet Union and suffered devastation at the hands of Hitler's forces. They reject those parallels as pretext for a war of imperial conquest.
You know, you've got some national radio host types who say the end is near and you better lay in the supplies of water and medicine and I don't know. I just can't get there. I don't. I guess if the end is near, what the hell do I care?
Well, what's it going to take to get you to get there?
Well, what do I want to do? I want to live another month then and then emerge into the dystopian dust of
you
destroyed
can
Earth?
Roll right up to John Haidt's house where he has promised us that he's going to grab a guitar, go out to the front step and just strum his way to
happiness.
The hereafter.
Yeah. Isn't Putin sick though? I thought he was not.
We don't know anything about him because they're all liars.
Well, won't we know when you think the end is near? Because you'll crack the microphone and give us your Kardashian theory.
Yeah, that's so far removed now.
Oh,
that's mere child's play now.
Yeah.
Who here among us is willing to fight for their life? Any of you clowns?
To what extent? If there's
a go, you have to define that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know. Run for the hills. Stock up on toilet paper and water.
No, I'm not willing to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, you're the guy, Kenny, that says he's driving towards it.
Well, that's in the event of an earthquake or a volcano erupting in Yellowstone.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm. Meanwhile, speaking of Ukraine, Boris Johnson has entered the Tucker Carlson conversation. He accused Carlson of infecting people's minds with bad ideas about what Vladimir Putin stands for. Speaking on Wednesday during a panel discussion with the Atlantic Council, former UK Prime Minister said, "I've been amazed and horrified by how many people are frightened of a guy named Tucker Carlson. What is it with this guy? All these wonderful Republicans seem somehow intimidated by his perspective." Johnson's on a high-profile speaking tour of the U.S. He said, "Bad ideas are getting into, starting to infect the thinking around the world about what Putin stands for, what he believes in. It's a disaster. He stands for war, aggression, systematic murder, rape, and destruction. That's what he stands for." Both before and after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Carlson has been accused of parroting Kremlin talking points. In fact, according to a leaked war memo from Russia back in March 2022, the Kremlin instructed Russian state media to feature Carlson much as possible because of his criticism of the U.S. and NATO's role in Ukraine.
I just love my story of the sons of the guy who call him every night when Tucker's just going to start. They prearrange, it's your turn.
It's
you got to call.
So mean.
And they,
so he can't watch it.
Yeah, yeah. They just drive him crazy. "How you doing? What's new?" And he goes, "Yeah, if everything's great, I got to go."
Jimmy had a baseball game.
"I got to tell you something here."
I love the needle.
Oh, the needle's beautiful.
We have a concert announcement in the Twin Cities. Joan Jett keeps getting stuck with Axe. I think she's much better than.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing against Bryan Adams, but she's now been stuck with Bryan Adams on a tour.
What?
They will perform at the Xcel Energy Center July 3rd. Tickets go on sale this Friday. No ticket prices publicized yet. Pre-sale options, though, have started with seats on the floor or in the lower bowl priced anywhere from $75 to $750.
What?
To see Joan Jett?
Well, and Bryan Adams.
Who's the headliner?
Take your pick.
I think it's one of those rotation things. I think one night would be.
Well, when you get to that age, though, don't you want to play first? You can get to bed earlier.
Get to bed early.
So Tucker's going to be on soon.
Yeah.
This has been
a problem with Joan's entire career.
Yeah, I agree.
She's always been stuck on stinker bills. When I saw her at Parade Stadium in, I don't know, I think it was 83. It was the Greg Kinn Band, Loverboy, and Quiet Riot, and Joan Jett.
I actually like Greg Kinn, but the rest of them can go away.
A couple of years ago, I was talking to somebody about this, Kenny, and they basically said they're trying to get acts that aren't the same genre because their effort is to try to sell more tickets. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, somebody that's a fan of Joan Jett might not buy a ticket to Bryan Adams. You know, if only we knew a guy that knew a guy in the industry,
right?
We could book him.
She was here last year, and I hated this because I love Joan Jett, but she was with Motley Crue, Poison, and Def Leppard.
Oh, God.
No, thanks. And now it's Bryan Adams. So,
Such, weren't you seriously going to go to that show? Because you love the Crue.
I don't love the Crue. I've tried to explain this to you 1,000 times. I like some of the noises they make.
Bleepy
I like the noises Mick Mars makes.
Gotcha.
That drummer.
But I'm not going to see him.
Okay. Joe, that drummer, they did a movie about him and his girlfriend, Pam Anderson.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
The movie was out a year or so ago.
No, I'm aware of it.
How did they steer his boat?
Yeah.
In the movie, he talks to his swimsuit area.
Yeah.
And the swimsuit area looks up at him and talks back.
And responds, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a conversation.
Well, that's the movies for you.
Yeah.
He's got talent.
Yeah.
In Iran.
I don't know. You can train those things to talk.
and they're on.
You don't want to because they'll never shut up.
You can turn them to look at you, too.
That's better than having a talking frog, isn't it?
I'd rather read. I'd rather have a talking frog.
An Iranian couple, both social media.
Looking at its watch going, it's been about 10 years there, pal. We going to, you know, maybe today?
An Iranian couple, both social media influencers, have been given lengthy prison sentences after a video emerged of them dancing in a main square in Tehran.
John? Who's
an
dancing?
Iranian couple. An Iranian
couple. Were they wearing their headgear?
No, they weren't wearing
headgear. Oh, boy, look out, the police will come.
That was the lead of the story.
Oh, I missed it.
That's why they've been given lengthy prison sentences for dancing.
What kind of dancing? They do the moonwalk?
It's just a normal dance, Kenny. They're hugging.
What about that dance that Reavers boys do with the hands in front of them and then the hands behind them?
Now, this is a fairly serious story.
And then behind them.
You boneheads.
Yeah, it is serious, John, and I'd like to hear it.
But that's fine. That's fine.
They do the twist?
No. Fascist forces at work, but what do you guys care?
Yeah.
Good shot I got in there. From the Yikes department, Musa Hasaya Kasera.
Yikes.
Has so many children.
How many children
does she have? He can't remember most of their names.
Oh, that's too many.
The Ugandan villager is struggling to provide for his vast family that he says includes 12 wives, 102 children, and 578 grandchildren.
He's got what they call them summer kids, huh, John?
Summer
here,
enough.
Summer there.
And let me guess, they're over at his house.
I walked on your punchline.
They're over at his house every single day, aren't they?
At first it was a joke, he said, but now it's a problem. 68-year-old told AFP at his homestead in the village of Bugisa in Budalaya district, a remote rural area of eastern Uganda, with his health failing and merely 2 acres of land for such a huge family. Two of my wives left because I couldn't afford the basics like food, education, and clothing. Asaya, who is currently unemployed but has become something of a tourist attraction in the village, said his wives now take birth control to stop the family expanding further.
It's too late. What if each one of those kids had a big wheel? That'd be a lot of noise.
He's 68?
A lot of noise.
He's 68. Still...
Yeah, you know
that's correct.
You know what his guy's saying to him? Let's stop for a little bit. Yeah, take a time out.
I love that the decision was made that
self-care day.
They needed to take the birth control.
right.
Yeah. He said, quote, "My wives are on contraceptives, but I am not. I don't expect to have more children because I have learned from my irresponsible act of producing so many children that I can't look after." Asaya's brood lives largely in a rapidly dilapidating house, its corrugated iron roof rusting away, or in about 2 dozen grass-thatched mud huts that are nearby.
What a nice operation.
Right. Wow.
But society's as good as this country.
Married his first wife in 1972 at a traditional ceremony. See, that was what you were supposed to get from the last story, Joe, that the societies weren't really the same. But it's all right.
No, I understand that.
I know
this is what they're learning in the failed academy.
How many wives does he have now, even after the two leaving?
Well, what did we start with? We started with
12.
12, so now he's got 10. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
10's
enough. Do you even notice the two are gone?
No.
This all started when he was 17, when he married his first wife. Attracted by his then status as a big cattle trader and butcher, he said villagers
would... Footsie under there? He just kicked me in the shin.
I didn't mean to. I was going to say, what does this moron do for a living?
I think he's a running back for the Vikings. Oh.
Cattle trader and butcher. And so he'd get offered daughters. People would say, hey, give me a cow, I'll give you my daughter.
Look at this.
Child marriage was only banned in Uganda in 1995, while polygamy is allowed in
the
East African country.
That's up to date.
What?
They only banned it in 1995.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Asaya's 102 children range in age from 10 to 50. His youngest wife at the moment is 35.
And they don't have indoor facilities.
No.
His biggest challenge right now? I can only remember the name my first and last born. Huh. Some of my children, I can't recall their names. I have to ask.
Only
their
his
mothers.
First and last? That's two
what
names.
He says. Well, he's 68. You know,
that's the first thing to go.
Getting up there.
Maybe he should lay off the Viagra, huh?
I think in his case, Rook, you're correct. It
that's
is
the last thing to go.
Isaiah says he can't even recall the names of some of his wives.
Is this still the same story?
Yep. It is, yeah. He has to consult one of his sons, a 30-year-old teacher.
Hey, what's Miles'
helps
name
run the
again?
Family affairs.
You can add that to your file.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I still remember your name.
Yeah.
We'll go to another story.
I think so.
Cementing what's been in the works for months, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley will formally announce she's running for president. She'll seek the Republican nomination for the party's 2024 ticket, various outlets reporting that. As you would expect, Donald Trump has some thoughts on that. He tweeted last night on Truth Social, or not, I guess you wouldn't call it tweeting on Truth Social. He posted on Truth Social, Nikki has to follow her heart, not her honor. She would definitely run, saying that she would support Trump. Remember earlier, he put a clip up of her saying she'd support Trump if he ran in 2024. So he thinks she's going against her honor there. And in Toronto, a robbery caught on some wild video. This is pretty cool, actually. Not cool that they robbed the place, but the stolen vehicle wanted in the smash inside and grab robbery at Vaughan Mills Mall was found Wednesday afternoon after the release of the security footage. Here's what they did. It was a black 2011 Audi A4, and at 1 in the morning, the vehicle can be seen in a video driving through an empty parking lot, smashing right through the glass entrance of the mall. Then it just drove through the mall, stopping at stores where it wanted to grab stuff.
That's wacky. That's nutty.
That's a pretty weird story.
So see, on the video, you can see the car driving through the mall.
That's stopping
at the Calvin Klein store and grabbing
drive-through shopping.
Driving a little further.
Really
drive
strange.
Thank you, Kenny. Yeah. Thank you, Kenny.
You got one more, Jan?
That's the last one I got. I thought that was a pretty good one.
That's pretty good. You're right, Jan.
Apparently, I was incorrect.
That was fantastic.
It did drive out another door, and they haven't caught them yet.
Thank you very much.
Whew.
And you can take this break now.
And do what with it?
Sorry.
For yours, it's the final set. For you.
For us, it's the end of the world as we know it.
You're not getting paid tomorrow.
Joe Soucheray.
Too late.
Turned in my time card.
Speaking of the crackpots that run this country, Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, he's 81 now, and he's got a new book called It's Okay to Be Against Capitalism. And he's charging $95 a ticket to come and see him preview the book.
Nice. Ticketmaster.
So that's
is that the epitome of irony?
That's the epitome of hypocrisy.
Okay.
What an idiot.
The idiot is the person that would go see him for $95.
He's having an event at the Anthem, whatever that is, in Washington, D.C., March 1st. And you get a copy of the book with the $95. Its critics are slamming the Vermont leader. He's not a leader. He's a turd. For charging any amount for the event about capitalism, in addition to selling the tickets on Ticketmaster, despite Congress's criticism towards the monopoly last week. He's a walking advertisement for why the left is full of BS. This is ridiculous. Fox News' Dana Perino said. Hmm. I don't know who she is.
I don't either. I'm unfamiliar.
It's his newest book. It's okay to be angry at, I think, whatever I said. It's okay to be angry at capitalism?
At capitalism, yes.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's all I had on that. But does anyone take Bernie seriously?
Oh, I guarantee this will be a bestseller.
He strikes me as the kind of guy that buys his underpants from Salvation Army. They're all clapped out.
I don't know why that would occur to you.
No elastic
take.
Left.
Yeah, very interesting.
Big holes in them, permanent stains.
Oh, my God.
I think that you couldn't be more wrong. He is so hypocritical. He's got two beautiful homes, one on a lake.
But didn't he have those really
And
old
I'm sure he buys...
Mittens?
Well, he had the bad mittens.
I bet you he wears garters to hold up those socks, doesn't he?
Yeah. I bet he buys his drawers at, Macy's or Lingenfeld. What's that store called? Nice store.
How's he look in a camisole? I bet not bad, huh?
Kenny raises an interesting point.
What is
Who
that?
Who is buying those grunders at Salvation Army?
Do they sell grunders?
Well, you walk by and you're thinking...
You can get a value pack. Sometimes they put five or six of them together in a bag.
They don't sell used underwear, do they?
I got kicked out of
slightly used.
As a kid, I got kicked out of Salvation Army in Fergus Falls because I opened a drawer that said underwear, and it was full of used underwear.
Oh, you should have watched. Yeah.
And I started laughing so hard that they asked me to remove myself from the store.
You know, used underwear wouldn't be all that bad because it's broken in.
Yeah. Okay. Those belly bobbers I
know what to get you for your birthday. Wow.
Yeah, Salvation Army underwear.
Some slightly used chill boys.
I got a few pairs I can send your way. Boys?
I think they're coming back this spring.
Are they still around?
Oh, yeah. Good.
I just saw one of the guys at the airport.
They got good drawers.
He said hello.
They have nice drawers. Yeah.
I love
chill boys
their
are the
long
best.
Underwear.
Yeah, they got by some far nice the drawers. Best.
I wear them every day.
Speaking of politicians, Joe, this is breaking. President Biden has promised to replace retiring quarterback Tom Brady with a woman of color.
Oh, I thought it would have been George Santos.
It was the Babylon Bee.
I see.
This is sent by many.
Only
dealers.
Because they come to us all the way from Marlin Park.
Swing and a miss.
They're really not funny anymore.
You're wrong. They're hilarious.
Can I do this?
What, Joe? Is it your show? That's right.
Sorry. You wouldn't think so, would you, John?
Sometimes trying, it's questionable.
Trying too hard, Chris. That's what they're doing.
The only said. Because they come to us.
Uh-huh.
All the way from Marloth Park.
I feel like Joe's
in Mpumalanga, South Africa, from the Traveling Lymans at worldwidewaftage.com. See, most radio shows that do this day in history, they just do it because they don't know what else to do.
Right.
Yeah.
We do it because they come to us from Africa.
That's true.
Got it.
There's a reason.
On this day in 1842.
February 2nd.
Newt Nelson was born in Evanger in the Voss district of Vestern, Norway. He would move to Alexandria in 1871, Kenny. And from 1893 to 1895, he would hold the state's highest office, serving as the first Scandinavian-born governor in U.S. history. See, we were into the first back then, too.
I got you.
Talking Knut Nelson.
Yeah.
I think he runs a funeral parlor over there, doesn't he?
After his stint as governor, Nelson served in the U.S. Senate, where he wrote bills creating the Departments of Commerce and Labor. He died on April 28, 1923.
Hmm.
On this day in 1846.
Yeah, I wonder if I get to
with them. It's a hospice care center.
Stillwater replaced.
And we say Knut, not Newt.
Stillwater replaced Dakota as the county seat of St. Croix County, Wisconsin Territory. Later annexed by Stillwater, Dakota had been the county seat for 6 years.
Hmm.
And on this day in 1910, in an important act of historical preservation, the Daughters of the American Revolution bought the Henry H. Sibley House in Mendota and converted it into a museum, which they maintained for over 80 years before transferring the title to the Minnesota Historical Society.
Huh. Have they changed the name of it yet?
I don't know.
They will.
And finally, on this day, and I think we have some controversy here.
February 2nd.
Love
on this day in 1996, and I thought we had this yesterday.
But this is correct, though. Today's is correct.
Minnesota's coldest temperature was recorded at Tower, a minimum extreme of 60 below zero that bests by 1 degree the previous scientifically measured low established in 1899.
Is it possible it could have been both and might have been an overnight temp?
Nope.
Oh.
I checked both papers yesterday. And this one is correct. It was on February 2nd.
How accurate do you think the 1888 gauge was versus 96?
In 1899, they had a thermometer. You could
don't we have better ones in 96?
Same thing.
Boone, Erickson, let's wrap this up.
This is Cannon for Country Hard Bread.
Let's wrap this up.
John, may I try one?
Can I tell you, Boone was really interested in tennis.
He liked tennis.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you told us that.
I hear that.
Fascinating.
I really
you should write a column
that.
About that.
There
today.
You go.
Yeah, there's your column.
Boone
right
loved tennis.
Is Charlie still with us?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
We lost Raj. I know that.
Roger's not with us.
I don't know about Boone.
John, may I try one more on you just for fun?
Sure.
From the Babylon Bee.
Well,
Punxsutawney
sure.
Phil emerges from burrow to let everyone know there are some documents marked classified down there.
Nope.
They're just. No.
You know what? The bee is faltering.
Really?
Yeah. It's
not funny. You know why? Because it's realistic. It's so real. That used to be outrageous.
They were put out of business.
You know, this can kind of happen. Yeah,
see, like, because
I don't think so.
The documents were marked classified.
Thank you, GLers.
Thank you.
Charlie Boone died in.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
What
year, Chad? 2015.
2015, we lost Charlie.
November 20th.
Yep. Well, that's, we're going on a sad note there, huh?
Yeah, sorry,
okay,
Charlie.
Orly and Lena.
life was Axel. Clone Charlie.
Noted.
He lost a kid.
Gotcha.
Hey, go ahead and turn your mic off, Joe.
But don't tell me he wasn't getting along with that nurse.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow, friend.
You know, I was on that show once.
We're going to get him back to the group home. It's puzzle day, so
Did you take your medicine today?
No, definitely, you know what I like to play? Hocus Focus.
Hocus Focus?
Yeah, where you get the two cartoon panels, you find the six differences between
the two. Dad, you got to take your medicine. You forgot again today.
I'll see you there.
Hocus Focus.
Pod MN for your smartphone needs. Check out our YouTube page and subscribe to Garage Logic.
Because I think some of the differences are so slight.
For the town council. On GarageLogic.com. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah,
like
you might
disappointed you today.
What if we can get that online? Hocus Focus, huh?
Oh, I love Hocus Focus.
Time once again to check in with Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Now's the time for you to check in with Mr. Money Talk yourself. So pick up that phone, make that call for that free 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and you're always going to get straight talk. You're never going to get sugar-coated advice. And Josh is on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And boy, Josh, where to begin? But you would like to touch on earnings, the Fed, and you had yourself a big day, didn't you?
Well, I'm going to. Today is a big day. I'll say yesterday was a pretty big reversal in the indices after Fed Chairman Powell completed his press conference on the Fed's decision on interest rates. We had it over a 500-point interday swing in the Dow Jones and a huge swing in NASDAQ that continued up in after-hours trading, and even this morning on the back of earnings from Meta, also known as Facebook. The Fed continued to raise interest rates, and as expected by 98% of the surveyed economists, the Fed raised their rate another 25 basis points, and in all likelihood will continue to do another 25 basis points for several meetings before, I believe, pausing to see the effects of what they have done. There was plenty of talk that the Fed is not yet sufficiently restrictive with their interest rates and tight money policy, but the Fed was seeing signs of disinflation, particularly in commodity-led prices. Oh, my goodness. I've been, we'll say, railing about that for many months because in real time, you could see commodity prices and goods prices continuing to fall since last May. Fed is always looking at past data, not future data. Fed Chairman Powell did stress the word disinflation several times, but still saw a very strong labor market, and the Fed would like to see a weaker labor market before taking their foot off the gas pedal in terms of interest rates. Me, I think it's great that more people are working and more people are making money, and even more money, that gives them more of a chance to save, invest, and spend. All positives to keep the economy growing. I'm more of a growth guy in that regard than let's stop spending and let's have consumers curtail what they're doing. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Meantime, on the earnings front, as I mentioned, Meta beat, we'll say top line, bottom line. They got a big boost from Facebook. They showed that their Reels division is starting to gain some traction. And having cut staff already, they did get a boost for that. Plus, they instituted a $40 billion share buyback and cut their CapEx spending. The market took that very positively and said, oh, the folks at Meta or Facebook are finally acting like adults in the world. And that gave Meta a big, big boost and helped bring up the rest of the leadership in NASDAQ. We had the other day Advanced Micro Devices. I'm not going to say surprised on the upside, but did not do as bad as had been thought. They saw strength in several of their divisions, notably data centers, and also they saw a bottoming process in the work for PC demand. Advanced Micro Devices had a nice boost, and that has helped, we'll say, the semiconductor complex, including Taiwan Semiconductor, Micron, and NVIDIA. NVIDIA has gotten a nice boost in the past on gaming and on cryptocurrency, now on using the same chips for artificial intelligence. NVIDIA, in terms of the semiconductors, is very expensive on a price-to-sales basis and a price-to-earnings basis, but is still the leader. I tend to prefer AMD in that regard, less expensive commodity and probably a little less volatile with that, although I am very low in the semiconductor space. Coming up tonight, it's Apple and Amazon, Starbucks and Google and Ford reporting earnings all after the bell. Apple, Amazon, and Google are up ahead of the results after the nice report from Meta. And the thinking is that these companies are going to report not so bad earnings. We'll show some cost cutting coming on, and questions will be about their guidance going forward. I have always said, do be prepared for plenty of volatility during the earnings call and into tomorrow.
Very good advice, Mr. Money Talk. You heard him, GLers. Now's the time for you to pick up that phone and make that call for that free 48-minute financial consultation. Just call 952-925-5608, where you're always going to get straight talk and you're never going to get sugar-coated advice. Josh, once again, thank you so much for the time and the chat. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. Thank you.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.